Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
I have a whole bunch of notes. I turned them over and wrote a sermon this morning. So I think that sometimes God says, I'll give you what to say when I want you to say it. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Verse 23 says, His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you open our hearts and our minds, and Lord, I pray that you give us strength and guidance in all that we say and all that we do that might bring glory to you. We'll give you the thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was talking about how to be successful. And I don't know any young person that doesn't want to be successful. I don't want to know any older person that doesn't want to be successful and feel like they actually accomplished something in life. I guess there are people that just want to cruise through. I guess there are people that just want to wade through. But most of the time, it isn't because they want to. It's because they've given up, or they don't see any way out, or they're stuck in the mud, or they're stuck behind something and under something. And in this day and age where we're living without Jesus Christ, many of them have no hope whatsoever. They can't look up and say, God, pull me out. I need help. And sometimes God does it anyway, but they don't recognize God. And they say it was luck, and they pass that on to their children or their grandchildren and so forth. God wants us to have a life that is fulfilled. God wants us to do the best that He can do with us. But we can't do anything for God until we get ourselves out of the way. When I was a young man, I played baseball. I played baseball from the time I was about probably 4 or 5 years old. And my dad would put a baseball on a rope, and my brother was older than me by 8 years. And Eddie would go out with a, he was left-handed, and he would go out and dad drilled a hole through that ball, and he tied a knot on the end of it and then tied a knot close to the ball, and he'd swing it around his head like this. And Eddie had hit that ball, and then he'd come around, and Eddie would hit with the other hand. He'd hit right-handed and then left-handed. And I remember Dad told me to pick up a bat, so I started picking up a bat, and Dad would sometimes put that a little too low when I got used to hitting it, and then he'd put it a little too high. And I remember I said, Dad, that's out of the strike zone. He said, if you can't hit them out of the strike zone, you won't be able to hit them in the strike zone. Then I heard Sparky Anderson talking one night, and he was a coach of Cincinnati Reds, and he said, let me tell you something about Johnny Bench. He can hit one out of the ballpark out of the dirt. He can reach up over his head and pull one and reach and knock it into the knock out a home run. He don't need the strike zone because he learned to hit everything he swung at. He was talking about a grandmother was telling her grandchild, "Don't swing, the pitcher's no good. Don't swing, he can't get it in there." He said Johnny Bench didn't learn how to hit by not swinging. Well, when I was growing up, I played on this really good baseball team in Little League and in Pony League, and we were pretty good in high school. But we had this one guy that played with us, and he was really good. He was so good that he played for the Cincinnati Reds and the Detroit Tigers for 12 years. Now, everybody would want to do that. All of you young people, you would like to say, boy, I want to go out there and I want to be a Tiger. I want to be an Indian, or I want to be with Cincinnati Reds. I want to pitch baseball. I want to play shortstop. Let me tell you something about where it started with Doug Bear in Little League. He didn't not skip through Little League and Pony League and in high school and the American Legion team and in the single A team and the triple A team and then go right into pitching baseball for a major league team. He didn't do that. He was faithful in the little things. He pitched as hard in Little League as he did, well, not as hard. I mean, he tried as hard as he did in the major leagues. Everybody wants something given to them today. We want to walk in and we want to be at the top of the game. You don't get to the top of any game until you've learned how to do the little things. You know where it starts in a church? It starts when you walk across the floor and you see something on the floor and you pick it up. You don't say, oh, I'd like to lead the music in the church. I'd like to be one of the council members in the church. I'd like to teach a Sunday school class. You know where God tests you? When you walk across the floor and you see a piece of dirt, whether you pick it up or not. That's where God tests you. That's where He tests you at work. You walk in and, you know, we got this thing, the basic minimum requirements. So whatever it takes to keep our job, that's what we do. And we have been known in America to be lazy. I don't know if you realize that. But we know guys that want to go in, and what they want to do is they want to hide, they want to read the paper. I remember my son-in-law was a supervisor for General Motors up in Detroit. And he said, these guys come back from noon, they were drunk. He said, I couldn't believe it. They came to their job and they were drunk. I said, what'd you do? He said, I threw them out. And they wanted me to get in trouble. What's wrong today with the American people? They don't want to succeed. They have given up because they have lost their hope, because they have lost their God. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. If we step up, like my dad told me, he said, if you want to do something, don't work 8 hours a day, work 9 hours a day. He said, you know where you get that ninth hour? You get up an hour earlier than everybody else. You get started earlier than everyone else. He said, you know, if you actually work 10, 12 hours a day, you'll get a whole weekend out of a month that they don't put in. Wouldn't it be nice to be given a week's pay extra every month? You can do that if you do another week's work. Somebody said how to get 8 days out of a week. That's work all night sometime. They say work never killed anyone. Well, I don't know about that. We know some people that were killed on the job. But I will tell you this. Laziness will absolutely kill you. Laziness will make you so that you lose your muscle mass. Laziness will make you so you lose your attitude. Laziness will make you so that you can't accomplish anything. Kids, if you want to make it in school, learn what one and one is. Learn what two and two is. And then when you get to the multiplications, you'll understand them. Learn how to diagram a sentence, and you won't be hanging your gerunds and dangling your participles like I do. You can't skip that stuff. You got to be able to get it. Don't leave the car out of gas when you drive in the house. Stop and buy the gas. Stop and do it. Don't leave it for someone else to do it. It starts in the bathroom. If you need a new bar of soap or you need new paper, you put it up. You don't wait on someone else to do it. The Bible says if you're faithful in little things, and we as Christians are supposed to lead by servanthood. Jesus teaches that. Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 15. And when He washed their feet, someone said, why do you think He washed their feet? I'll tell you why I think He washed their feet. Because their feet were dirty. And Jesus saw a need and He got down on His knees and He met the need. I think if they had dirty hair, He'd have washed their heads. I think He was showing the people, He said, as I have done to you, you should do. You should wait on one another. You should serve one another. If you see a need that needs done, you should step up and do it. The church has been silent too long, and we have allowed people to stand up and allowed people to speak that have no business to speak. They didn't earn the right to speak. You know how I got here today? I preached in a little migrant camp when I was in the Navy, a tobacco camp, where migrants came up and they would process the tobacco, and you couldn't stand it for all of the tobacco dust in the air. I had to preach outside because I couldn't stand it inside, and they were in those conditions. And I never asked for an offering. This one man came up and he said, you know, I'm working a migrant camp, and he said, I'm a preacher too. Do you mind if I preach? And I had a little band with me, a guy with a French horn, a guy with a guitar, and they'd come out to listen to them. Then I'd stand up on a, remember what those pop cartons were, those wooden ones that you used to get glass bottles in and carry them back? That was my savings account. I had two of those in my garage always. That way I knew I always could buy milk and bread. You know what I'm talking about. Faithful in the little things. You didn't throw those bottles away. They were worth 2 cents. So I'd stand up on there and preach. This man, he stood up and he couldn't read. I didn't know he couldn't read. Wasn't his fault he couldn't read. He wasn't given the opportunity in the little things. So a man would stand behind him. How many of you heard a preacher like that? They'd have somebody stand behind him that could read, and then they would, and he preached on John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The man would read, then he's, for God so loved the world. Guy back here, that he gave his only begotten son. That he gave his only forgotten son. Now I'll tell you, God had a lot of sons. You're a son of God. I'm a son of God. If you're born again, you're a son of God. But Jesus on that cross was the only one he ever forgot. I'm glad it came from the heart, because scripturally he was right. Vocabulary-wise, he was wrong. But Jesus is the only one he ever turned his back on. That man said, I can hear the smell of the chicken across the street. They're frying up chicken. That got everybody's attention. They all got their mind off of the tobacco, and he kept preaching, and he'd mention that chicken again. When he got done, he took his hat and he laid it out, and he said, now you're going to help this preacher buy some chicken? I never took an offering. He got a hat full of money for preaching about God's forgotten son. You're faithful in the little things. God blessed him. I did not get this pulpit by deciding that I just wanted to step into Heritage Church of God and pastor, or I want a break. Why don't I ever get offered a church like this? I was never offered a church like this. People don't get offered churches like this. You're faithful in the little things. I went to revival meetings when I just got out of the Navy with 15 people in a church. You're lucky I practiced on them. I found out what worked. I found out what didn't work. I took a little church of 30-some people, and I saw it grow during a time when Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart was getting in trouble and the churches are imploding. You know why? Because in a church, I figured out what the little thing was. I figured out what it was that made a church grow. And I understood it. And I tried to implement it in every part of our ministry. God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He didn't say it'll be called a house of preaching, Michael. He didn't say it'd be called a house of music. He didn't say it'd be called a house of good time or house of fellowship. He said, my church shall be called the house of prayer. And you know when this church started growing? It didn't start growing when I went to North Cove. We added a few here and there because we got our family saved. We got our friends saved. This church started growing when we came here and we started using this altar on Sunday mornings, and we started seeing people healed, and we started seeing their prayers answered. And when we became faithful in little things, God gave us the rest. No church will be what it needs to be until they understand what it is to kneel at prayer. Yes, I believe that Jesus knew their feet were going to be dirty, not their heads. I'm sure their heads were probably kind of dirty too back then. But I'm sure that at this dinner, Jesus knew before he went in the example that he was going to make, because he needed to kneel down before them. I don't like going to a restaurant and seeing someone not pay any attention to the waitress or the waiter. I don't like going into a restaurant where people treat somebody that serves them like they don't exist. I don't like going into a place where you overlook people and you don't see them and you don't look them in the eye just because they're serving you. No one is serving you. No one are you better than. And God said, if you want to be lifted up, you be faithful in the little things. Paul, the apostle, you know, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. Wow, I mean, if we could sit in his presence. They had a shipwreck, and you know what he was doing? He was out gathering brush up for wood. Don't be afraid to do what needs to be done. Don't think that anything is beneath you, because someday you'll be deep beneath that earth that you're standing on. This past week, I did a TV interview, which was on today. I did two radio interviews, and I did three paper interviews. I didn't do those in order to be somebody. I did them because there was a time when I saw there was a need to be done, and somebody had to step up and do it. That's all. That's all I've tried to do in my entire life. If I saw something that needed to be done and someone that needed to speak up, I would speak up or I would do it, and I'm not doing any different than that today. And every one of you ought to be able to do that. And if you do that, God will lift you to where he wants you to be. There is nothing that you cannot do with an almighty God that breathed breath into your lungs and life into your spirit. Don't be afraid to gather the firewood if that's what it needs to be. You know what bothers me is when I see on these little league teams or these high school teams, I see that guy that's out there and he gathers up the balls and he gets the jersey and he gets the drink for them, and they treat him like he's kind of dirt. If I were a coach, I wouldn't allow that. This guy is as much a part of the team as anybody is a quarterback that's out there throwing the ball, or the center that's shooting the ball, or the pitcher that's pitching the ball. Because this little guy that was a water boy, when I flew down to Florida to watch my nephew play football for Trinity Christian, and we flew down there, Terry and I flew down there twice to watch him play football. And they had a good team, and they were playing for in the state championship games. And they had this little water boy there. His name's Tim Tebow. He was the water boy. I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't want to have been one of those bigger kids that played on that team that treated that water boy bad today, would you? Well, preacher, he didn't make the NFL. He signed for $23 million, I think. He didn't have to make the NFL. He didn't have to play, and all I've ever seen him do is win. Now he's on TV. He has a larger voice because he's a Christian. I think God wanted to just give him a voice. Sometimes we don't get what we go after, and that doesn't matter. It's that you stepped up to do it. And sometimes people don't understand God's ways. When Jesus stepped up and he washed the disciples' feet and then he went to the cross, some thought that was a failure. But God says, no, this is what you were born for. And he put him right where he needed to be, upon his right hand. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you been faithful in little things? The little things. If you haven't, don't ever plan on getting the big things. If you talk down to people, don't ever think that you're going to make it up above people. If you don't recognize what someone does for you, you probably haven't done anything for anyone else. It's the little things. Rich, how old are you? 80. You're our janitor. Every time that you pick something up off the floor, that 80-year-old man don't have to bend over and do it. That's faithful in the little things. The first church that I pastored, I remember when we got our new carpet, we had old wooden pews that you sat in them and it pinch you, you know, you had to watch where you sat. So we got new pews, padded pews, and we got new carpet. And the janitor came up to me and they said, "Pastor, I shouldn't be upset, but I'm upset." And I said, "Why are you upset?" "The same pew every week, the family clips their fingernails." I thought, for the life of me, I couldn't picture that. So I went back and looked, sure enough. He said, "Preacher, what you going to do about it?" I said, "What do you think I ought to do?" He said, "I think it's, they got four little kids." He said, "I think we ought to just let it go and I'll keep cleaning it up and keep them in church. We don't want to offend them." Wow. That's being faithful in little things. That's washing feet, people. That's what God told us to do. That's how God told us to do it. Let's stand. I promised you when someone threw a big bucket of water on me and then it continued about 80 times that we're going to take up a special offering for ALS. If you've known anybody that has Lou Gehrig's disease, it's awful. I watched a man who's a friend of mine go from working every day to losing his ability to walk, his ability to move his arms, his ability to talk, and then his ability to breathe. And I said today, at the end of the service, my challenge was for all churches to take an offering. So if you have a dollar, you have a quarter, you have 50 cents, whatever it is, we're going to send it in. We're going to send it in through the Catholic Diocese because of where they send it to for research. So we're going to ask, we're going to pray, we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. You come at this time, the ushers. You have your baskets. Some of you do. Some of you are coming. We got one here. We got some here. I probably didn't tell them we were going to do this. There's another one. Okay, bless your heart. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have you be seated. And then we're going to take up an offering, whatever you have. Our Heavenly Father, we know that, Lord, if we're faithful in little things, you'll add unto us great things. It just might be that extra dollar, that extra $5 that puts us over, that we find a cure. Lord, I just read last week that they found out now what is causing, or what the problem is. So now they can work the problem and maybe find a cure for it. So, Lord, we ask you to do that, but we ask that every one of us be able to be faithful in the little things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road, in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.